Judge John Sanders joining me in the studio. First, John, it's good to see you.
Well, good morning.
Thank you. Monday, no less.
On a holiday, a court holiday even.
It is. Columbus Day. That's right.
That's correct.
I never thought about that, but I'm glad you were able to join us. You know, I was just kidding with you as you were walking in the studio. For the last few years, eight, we'll figure at least, tough time to be a cop. Now, everybody's going to be an expert on jurisprudence.
Isn't that the truth? We all seem to know about the law. The media certainly has played it up here pretty hard the last couple of weeks, haven't they?
All right. And, you know, and I don't know if this will have a ramification on a local level. More and more, I see what happens in D.C. reverberate down to the lowest levels, right, in elections. And I can't help but wonder, maybe this Supreme Court, there's some positive to it, I think. But as a whole, I think the scrutiny on the bench may be, oh, well, I don't think scrutiny on the bench at any time is a bad thing, but maybe not always the word scrutiny now at this point.
Well, we're in a partisan election. The judge candidates and certainly myself, that's not what I want. You know, selecting a judge should not be about partisan politics. It should not be.
Right.
We would prefer it to be probably, and I certainly would prefer it to be in the nonpartisan election in the spring. Yeah. That would seem to make sense, but that's above my pay grade. I don't get to make those decisions. It is. But as we know, politics should not play a role in the selection of a judge, but they do.
Right.
And what a circus, a media circus this past couple of weeks. That's a shame for such a lofty, important position to have the sentence confirmation hearing become such a circus.
Right.
So unlike
and kind of embarrassing.
It was.
If you step back and that we all have roles to play,
right?
You have a role to play. The law, police officer makes an arrest. He, you know, goes to the state's attorney. Do we have enough evidence? Here it is. State's attorney, should we proceed? Okay, yes, we're going to. Now we're going to go in front of the judge. Everybody has a role to play. And that includes elections. Now, right now, vacancy, Carolyn Smoot, she is leaving the bench. That's a resident Williamson County judge. It'll be you and Ryan Hall on the November election,
too.
Now, don't get bewildered, because I believe there are 9 judge slots open or something like that.
It's very crazy. I gave you a little card that shows a little cheat sheet who the judge candidates are for Williamson County. This is so unusual in Williamson County to have 4 judicial races. The most ever in one county was 2, and that was some 20 years ago. Here we have 4 races. I am already filling Carolyn Smoot's vacancy. I've sat on the bench for close to, it'll be 2 years by the time of the election. I am a resident circuit judge. I'm running in Williamson County along with another race that is in Williamson County. And then we have 2 races, which are what's called at large,
right,
which will be in 9 counties. And that's in the Williamson County ballot. Jackson County will have 3 judicial races, such as, and so will Massac County. And then the other counties in the circuit will have the 2 at-large races.
What makes a good judge?
Well, a good judge is one that will listen, one who can be impartial in his decision-making, one who will afford the parties the opportunity to be heard. That's what's so important, and that's what was so unfortunate with this Senate confirmation hearing. People see that and think that that's how maybe a judicial courtroom would be.
It's so different,
but it's not. And also, they see the Judge Judys in the world and see that on TV and think that's how it's supposed to be, too. But that is so different than the actuality of being a judge.
My good friend Judge Don Lowry, been friend many years, he says what people expect is a nice level equal playing field. That's what people expect you to provide.
When they come in my courtroom, they have to know that I'm going to be fair, that I'm going to give them each the respect they deserve. I don't care who they are, what party affiliation they may have, whether the mother or the father in my custody hearings. That doesn't matter. They need to know that I'm going to be fair, impartial, and give them respect. That's what's important.
And what's interesting is what that effect that has on people who come in who are basically scared of...
Oh, man.
And you see this every day, that they're afraid of what is going to happen. The anticipation of it's always worse. Because I guess it's fear of the unknown, largely.
Well, I handle the family law docket. I handle here the custody cases, the divorce cases. And when they come in, they're scared. It is not something that you do on a regular basis.
I've never been in front of a judge at a time I wasn't afraid, by the way, John. Just so I'll go ahead and verify.
And it's important for the judge to make you feel at ease. And I've had parties who've come in saying, thank you, you've made me feel comfortable. I do tell some jokes every once in a while in the courtroom. I make fun of some attorneys every once in a while. And that put people at ease because your contact with the court system is very limited. And so it's especially when you're fighting for the custody of your child.
Right. And you've done a lot of this.
Yes.
A lot of family law. Yes. In your bio, over 550 new family case laws filed each year in Williamson County, saying this is an amazing number. And that you've been assigned family law docket when you presided over custody and divorce matters.
That's correct.
28 years, you were a partner of the law firm of Sanders & Sanders. This is one I didn't know, John, and I should have. John A. Logan College Board of Trustees for 2 years.
For 18 years.
18 years,
yes.
Right? And for 2 years, you were a member of the Illinois State Board of Education.
That's right.
You have done other things. Do these other things serve you as a judge?
Oh, definitely. And I never really thought about it, but serving 18 years on the John A. Logan board, you have all this information that come to you at the board meetings. You know, people come in with all this information. You take this information, analyze it, and then make an important decision. Not only that, you're out in the community. I was the chair throughout my time on John A. Logan for the 18 years, chair of the diversity committee. And I was able to meet people and hear some of the plights that's going on for our students and for our community. And that's helped me. All that, being on these boards, I have served on a lot of boards, not only the State Board of Education, the John A. Logan Community College Board, but I also was on the National Board of Community Colleges and on the Executive Board. So I've been used to hearing a lot of information and having to make a decision from that information.
How do you come to terms with making a decision that so deeply and profoundly affects people's lives? This is a question that I've asked every justice that I've known at some point or judge, because people make mistakes.
Which
is both ways, the judge and the person who's made mistakes and they have to pay for it or whatever the case. But, you know, a decision that can so profoundly affect someone's life for the rest of their life, how do you deal with being, how do you reconcile that?
This is serious business.
It's serious business.
The decisions you can, that the judge makes.
The cop only arrests you.
But the decisions we make will have a lasting impact on a person's life. They do, whether it's in a criminal proceeding or whether it's in a custody proceeding or even a small claims.
And sometimes how they behave the rest of their life when they come into contact with law enforcement.
That day, that case is the most important thing for that person's life.
Yep.
I may hear hundreds of cases, but that day, that's the most important thing for them in their lives.
Right.
And so each morning before I go on the bench, I do say a little prayer for clarity. And it has been, I've been very fortunate when I hear cases that they're clear to me. I try my best to make a decision right away. It's important for them to have a decision, not to wait a week, not to wait a month, but on that day so they know. I don't do it every time, but I try my best. When they leave that courtroom, they know how I was going to rule. And so I find that to be important.
You know, I was arguing with a friend of mine, and I'm wondering whether I should have at this point. He says, you know, the law is really about not the law breaking it anymore.
No.
The law has become about the punishment if you do, that people are going to break law, that really law now, I always thought it was a deterrent. Right? And he says, it's not anymore. Now, the law is, these are the categories of payment in which you will have to pay if we catch you breaking the law. I thought that was kind of a rather bleak outlook on American society.
Well, you know, people will look at it one way or another. It is important for us to enforce the laws. It's expensive to enforce the laws. To manage our courthouse is very expensive. I hate that they maybe look at it that way. We break a law and see what we're going to pay and what the penalty. That's unfortunate. I think then there's some education that needs to be made in that respect of the consequences. And maybe we need to be more hard on the people who come before us in that
Nothing
regard.
Represents civilization more than the judicial system. And the culture and civilization, the safety of the community as a whole. That's right. That's really kind of my stance on this. You are the ultimate public health official.
I've never thought of it that way, but it certainly is a foundation of our society. You have to have law-abiding citizens. It's important. I meet with the presiding judge, and we talk about our budget, and it's just amazing what we spend, whether it's on the prosecutorial side or providing defense. Everybody should be afforded a fair trial. They should have good representation both on the prosecutory side and on the defense side. And as a judge who hears civil matters, it's important for us not to deny anybody from having access to the judicial system.
I think I just heard you say innocent until proven guilty.
Well, that is true.
It's amazing how we all interpret things differently.
Well, that's a little different than maybe a Senate confirmation hearing, but we won't go into that.
Go into that today. Ryan Hall and John Sanders will be on the ballot in November. This is the vacancy for Carolyn Smoot, resident judge. John is currently filling that slot.
That is right.
So if you live in Williamson County, you'll see Sanders on the ballot. And, of course, early voting is underway now.
I've already voted.
I was wondering, do you know, Judge, if I go vote today, will they stop sending me stuff?
Unfortunately, you can maybe put a mailer out. Here's what I'm concerned on. We've really have pushed for our supporters to vote early.
Right.
And now I'm sending out messages, but don't shut down. Just because you voted, please don't stop going out and spreading the word about our campaign and sharing on social media. I'm afraid once you vote, all right, I'm done. I'm finished. I was actually the first one at the county administration building on Thursday to vote.
I think a lot of people might consider that an attractive option, but it's not real.